Two include Eureka's Black Fawn Gallery, presenting an artist talk and demonstration by mixed media artist Lori Goodman on Saturday, January 6th at 4:30 p.m., right before Arts Alive. The Black Fawn Gallery is located at the corner of 2nd and G Streets in Old Town Eureka. More information is available at blackfawnart.com and on Facebook. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Art Waves with Wendy Butler.
Thank you for making KHSU your choice for the new year, and happy 2018 to you. I'm Wendy Butler, and it's time for Art Waves. On today's program, Artists Who Animate, a critique group, animation laboratory, and collaborative collective combined. And this group is having its first exhibition, and what a show it will be. They're taking over three galleries inside Eureka's Morris Graves Museum of Art this Saturday, January 6th through February 18th. And they'll also have their Black Dot collaborative film in the museum's performance rotunda this Saturday for First Saturday Night Arts Live, 6 to 9 p.m. The artists who animate are Kyle Couture, Brent Noel Eviston, Julie McNeil, Amy Uweki, and Steven Vandermeer. Julie, Amy, and Steven visited with me in the studio. Who prompted the creation of this collective?
Well, that would be me and also Brent Eviston, who's not here today. He and I did a collaboration a number of years ago for a project of his for a show that he had at Piante Gallery. And he, at that time, had not done any animation, but he wanted to team up with an animator, and he found me. And we worked for probably 9 months or so on this project called Kinetic Convergences. And it was really fun. We met more than monthly. I think we met weekly for a lot of that time. And when we finished that project, we didn't want to stop meeting, and we thought it would be fun to bring other people in, and that's how this group was born.
And in that time, have you ever, as a collective, had an exhibit?
No. In fact, when we first started meeting for months, we would just talk about animation and sort of wander aimlessly. And then one day, Brent came in and said, should we have a goal of some kind, a project, or, you know, something to work towards as a group? And so the idea of a gallery show came up, and we started working on that about 2 years ago.
In this show, it is individual works, but how is this a combination of art ideas, this exhibition?
Well, it's connected by the theme of animation, although all of our styles are completely different. And there is one collaborative project that we all worked on called The Black Dot, and that's where it starts as a black dot, and an animator will take it and animate for 30 seconds or so, and then it will return to that same black dot, and then the next animator takes over and does their 30 seconds, and then it returns to a black dot, and then it loops endlessly. And for that project, Brent actually composed a soundtrack for it, and so we were each able to use the soundtrack as we saw fit. Like, I added some banjo to mine, and I think Julie changed the pitch of hers, mm-hmm. and... Amy added sirens and people yelling to her. But it's the same basic soundtrack you hear over and over again, but with little changes.
And so, yeah, and I got a chance to view the Black Dot a little bit today. And basically, it begins with a black dot. And out of that emerges a story, a narrative. For individuals, like all three of you who are sitting here, your individual narratives emerge and then disappear into the dot, and then another one emerges.
Right.
And so in that sense, you are all connected, but the stories are not the same. You're not telling the same story.
Not at all.
So going over to Julie, let's talk about, because I want to move on to your individual works, but on the black dot, in the black dot, Julie, what story are you telling? What are your images?
Well, the piece that I have is a kind of rumination on adolescence. So you see this girl who goes through various transformations. It's kind of a little fantasy piece. She's sort of metamorphoses into trees and comes in and out of black clouds and that sort of thing. And I just wanted to mention that one thing that connects all of us is drawing. We all draw. We're all, you know, we're just animation. We're making drawings move. And I think that was the attraction of this medium to a lot of us, was being able to create that narrative through moving drawings.
And Amy, your story that emerges from the dot.
From the black dot. It's so funny to, because yeah. I haven't heard what Julie's piece was about. And like our group, we are coming at it from all different angles. So my piece is sort of at a different age of a woman. And it's my age, because it's sort of a little bit of a self-portrait. And it's, I call it... a fashion police black dot, though there's no title on it. But it's about maybe the constraints that society puts on us, and also trying to deal gracefully with the aging process in 45 seconds, which is how long my piece turned out to be.
And yours is about that long as well, Julie?
I think so. I think it's around 30 seconds yeah. or so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We tried to stay around the 30 second, but it kind of got a little looser towards the end.
Now, did you see each other's before you created for this dot?
No, I think the classic overachiever, Stephen, always gets his work done first. So his work was done way before ours. So I think we did see.
You probably saw mine.
We did see his. But yeah. And I think that one thing that... there's so much inspiration that comes from seeing other people's work, because it's truly, people work in different methods, different programs, but also different philosophy, and the content is very different. So it's inspiring. It's amazingly inspiring, but it's not like you see their work and you say, hey, I think I'm going to do this, because you are on a totally different brainwave, whatever. We're working from different arenas, which is really, to me, very refreshing.
And Stephen, what was your participation in the dot? What were
my
you...
black dot is playful. I'm really into wordplay and puns and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's no words in it, but it's a visual play. The black dot itself first morphs into an umbrella, and then out from behind that umbrella is a human figure emerges. And I do a lot of figure drawing, so that was a natural thing for me to do. And she comes out from behind the umbrella and then turns around and uses, she folds the umbrella up and then uses it like a paintbrush to draw another black dot, which is, and then she crawls into the black dot and disappears, and you're left with the black dot.
And then somebody else emerges.
Or something.
Or something.
Or something happens.
Something happens as a result of that. Yeah. Now, Stephen, I am familiar, well, also Amy to a certain extent, but it's been a lot of years since we've interviewed. Mm-hmm. But I know that you were interested in, and perhaps you were already beginning with animation. You were already pursuing it several years ago when we talked about a different project.
Right.
At that time. Julie, I don't recall if we've talked about animation specifically in your life. Is this relatively new for you, going into animation?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. And so how did this begin for you, going into animation?
Well,
and when?
Yes. It was back in 2011. I applied for the Victor Thomas Jacoby grant for getting equipment to teach myself how to animate. And it was really because another artist had said to me, in looking at my paintings, it looks like you've got multiple layers in your paintings going on. And when you talk about them and the way they look, it looks like you're trying to make animation. They look like they're trying to move. And I was like, well, yeah, that's right. I've always wanted to animate. And so in 2011, I heard about the Victor Thomas Jacoby grant and applied for it and got that. So I spent years trying to teach myself how to animate on my own. And that's why it was great when I connected with Stephen. And also I knew about Amy's work as well. And so that kind of encouraged me to, instead of just playing around with little exercises, to actually make a small feature film that was more cohesive, instead of just trying to learn how to make a pendulum swing or that sort of basic exercise.
And as you were saying, you feel that all of you are interested in taking your drawing to that level, because you want to see it move.
Yes, yes. It's just, I originally envisioned a painting and just having it all of a sudden start moving, like all the little parts in a watch or something like that.
Julie McNeil. Also here are Amy Uweki and Stephen Vandermeer. And they are part of the collaborative collective Artists Who Animate, which is having its first exhibit this and next month at the Morris Graves Museum. I'm Wendy Butler, and you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. What I was reading about that's going to be included in this exhibit are illustrations of pre-film techniques of moving form. Zoetropes, or is it zoetropes?
I say zoetrope.
Zoetropes?
Yeah.
And mutoscopes?
That's Kyle's thing, and he's not here to explain what that okay. is.
So we're not going to... So the zoetrope, what is a zoetrope?
Well, that is a pre-film animation device, meaning it was around before film. And it's like a carousel. It can be small, like you could hold in your hand, or it can be big, like a real carousel, or any size in between. It spins, and there are little slots on the side, and you look through the slots, and as they pass by your eye, they give you a glimpse of a drawing that's on the other side, on the inside. And so it gives you these really quick glimpses of these still drawings that become animated in your head because your eye fills in between when it sees black.
The zoetropes and mutoscopes require hands-on manipulation. Does that mean viewers are going to be invited to turn some kind of dial or
exactly.
carousel?
Yeah, in my zoetrope, you're invited to put your hand in there and grab the knob and spin it. And I actually created a special animation that you can watch that shows you exactly how to do it, because I've learned at my studio when having visitors over that little signs and things don't work. They just don't quite grasp that you're supposed to do it a certain way. And then the visual thing, you have to get down at a level where when you're looking through the little slots, you're looking straight across at the drawings. If you look down into the zoetrope from the top as it's spinning, it doesn't look like anything. But then you move your eyes a few inches down to that magic spot, and all of a sudden you see literally magic. It's just like people go, what? I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Well, again, this is before. I mean, we take movies all that for granted now. Mm-hmm. But this is before movies actually existed.
Yeah, and Kyle's mutoscopes, he's going to have a crank on the side. They work differently, and then the viewer will have to crank it themselves, yes.
All right, so I'm going to go back over to Julie. So, Julie, you have one piece that's going to air, I guess, continuously, the fog line.
Yes.
Is throughout the run of the exhibit?
Yes, it'll be on a flat screen TV and it'll be looping. It's a 4-minute long animation.
And I have a little bit on fog line, not much though. Meditation on the rhythmic passage of time and movement of bodies through space. Stop motion process.
Yeah.
Of animation, I think, yes. As you were saying, uses a whiteboard with black marker, photographing and then erasing each drawing. Hundreds of individual drawings. Can you talk more about the process of putting this together?
Sure. It's a kind of challenging, takes a lot of patience because I'm looking at my laptop screen at source imagery, and then I have a camera pointed down at a whiteboard. And as I'm looking at the imagery on the screen, I'm drawing at the same time on the whiteboard. It's almost like drawing partially blind. I'm looking at one thing but drawing on a board without necessarily looking at it all the time. It's stop motion, so it's several hundred individual drawings, and they're drawn and uploaded into a program called Dragon Frame. And then I uploaded the pieces of those into iMovie, where I added the soundtrack. So that's basically how it was, very, very kind of basic way of making a film, but it has a very sort of raw, hand-drawn quality to it.
Is fog line telling a story?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a linear story, a linear narrative. It was inspired by my work through the Arts and Corrections Project. So the fog line refers to when there's fog in the bee yard, and the custody officer who is looking across the yard, if he or she cannot see to the other side of the yard, they call a fog line. So all of the inmates have to stay inside of their cells, and they're not released. So one of the things that struck me about going inside of the prison where I work for the Arts and Corrections Program.
Was this which prison?
Pelican Bay.
It was, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Big shout out to Pelican Bay. So going in there, I was struck by the very surreal quality sometimes of going through the prison where you have to walk more slowly, don't wave your hands, very controlled. And in creating Fog Line, I wanted to capture this kind of ambiance of both very slow sort of movement, but it's also very condensed and intense with a lot of energy, especially when people go out on the yard. So the film starts out in the yard.
Have Stephen, Amy, have you seen her Fog Line?
Yes, and it is amazingly powerful and much more than, I mean, when she describes it, it's the outline, but it's raw and intense, and the sound that she created for it, the acoustics work really well, and it's just a really stunning film, really exciting to see.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like it was black marker on a whiteboard at all. It's got a lot of nice texture and tonality to it. It's very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And that comes, I'm sure, from your years of experience art making and drawing.
Yes.
Than just using a different tool to explore. Yeah.
It's kind of unusual for me in a way because it's based a lot on photographic imagery, and I usually, hardly ever work from photographs when I draw. I almost always work from memory. So it was a very awkward process to start with, but with animation, you're drawing over and over and over and over again, and eventually it kind of clicked and became a more natural process.
Julie McNeil, Amy Uweki, and Stephen Vandermeer, artists who animate. My guest today on Art Waves. I'm Wendy Butler, and you're listening to KHSU. And Amy, you have something called From Somewhere, from pastel images on wood, and also photography is involved.
Well, photographing my pastels on wood, and it's similar to the process that Julie used in that I would do a pastel painting, and then I would take it and photograph it at that stage and then change it and then photograph it again. But while Julie's is looking at the passage of time through probably a much smaller amount of space, I realize mine is I'm sometimes covering centuries and different places because my whole theme that came out of probably the time that we're living is about immigration and exploration of that through five different characters. So some of the characters, they are themselves immigrants, and others have centuries of living here in the United States. So I had to somehow represent the passage of time.
I'm assuming that there's no actual speaking in these films. Right? It's through imagery and music?
Well, you know, we could have. I think Stevens has some of his
mine has
films
some speaking.
Have speaking. And, I mean, we could have done that, but I didn't want, I would have to hire people to, you know, it's just another element, and then you have to have a script, and then you have to, you know, and then you have to, you know, make them mouth motions, and it was much easier in some ways to not use any words, but then you have to convey a lot more through motion, emotion, with storyline. And I was really lucky to collaborate with a composer musician in the Bay Area, Holly Mead. And if I didn't have her, the tone that she brought, the artistry that she brought to the audio, my story wouldn't be understood, I think.
It's, you're illustrating centuries, as you're saying. And then you're also illustrating five individual lives.
Right, and they're all from different countries.
Right.
So how do you push that narrative? And one way is with music. And I've just been thrilled with what she did. It was something beyond what I imagined. You know, she took it to another level, which I really appreciate.
Julie, Stephen, have you seen Amy's?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In progress, yeah.
Yeah. In progress, yeah. And I
Julie
agree.
Julie saw the...
Yeah, yeah, recently saw the completed piece with the soundtrack, which is just, yeah, the merging of the images and the motion that happens in the film, the colors and the whole ambiance, and Holly Mead that you worked with, the way that she created, like, in very subtle ways, it suggested different cultures and countries and time periods and emotional qualities through the music. So it's really beautiful.
These films, how long are they? I don't suppose they're the same length, but I mean, are they how long or how short?
Mine actually extended to 12 and a half minutes. So we are in the same gallery also with Kyle Couture, and we're still working in the South, but I think we made this decision to share the same screen just because there's going to be a lot of audio going on in the museum we have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have lots of sounds coming from all different places. So we're going to see if we can work with showing each of ours and hopefully set up a viewing place, you know, places for people to sit down, and they can sit on the floor too. But it's going to be more, in some ways there's more interaction, but there's also more active viewing and listening than maybe in a typical museum visit.
Well, I think the animations that we have going on, we have a lot of different contexts that you can watch animations. We have booths. We have full-scale projections on the wall with projectors. And we have flat-screen TVs. And so there's a lot of different ways to view the animation within the...
Even a peephole.
And there's even a peephole. So who knew?
The peephole, is that for the zoetrope?
No, no, it's completely different.
Is that your peephole?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's my peephole.
let's talk about that. Let's talk about what you're doing. Do you have the whole Tom Knight Gallery?
Yeah.
That is yours?
Upstairs,
Are you doing like a retrospective?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm showing my very first film from about 30 years ago, which was filmed on 16 millimeter in this very building.
In the Theater Arts Building?
Yes, yes. On Art Zipper's animation stand. A few years ago, I re-shot it. I scanned the drawings on a scanner, and they're high definition now. So you don't have to look at the fuzzy old 16 millimeter anymore.
Do we look at it through a peephole?
No, no. My gallery is going to be chaos. There's going to be seven different flat screens to look at, and lots of other four zoetropes, peephole, and a bunch of flat 2D artwork as well.
For ADD.
It'll blow your mind, yeah. The peephole is it's a door with a peephole in it, and you look through the peephole and you see a little animation, and it's only 27 seconds long, and it just repeats continuously, unending, so.
And that first film that you did in the Theater Arts Building, what was it called?
Arcata Brain Closet.
All right. Was there speaking in that?
No, just music.
Just music.
And alphabet. It was an alphabet film. It's 26 films in one.
Oh, yeah. So your retrospective is called Random Thoughts.
Yeah, and that's named after my most current piece of film called Random Thoughts.
Oh, okay. So your most current separate from the retrospective is called Random Thoughts as well.
Yeah, it's brand new. It's not even done yet. In fact, it's going to be a work in progress.
What is Random Thoughts about?
It's about, it's like a lot of my work, it's kind of autobiographical and self-reflective. And it's about an artist, and he's a filmmaker, and he gets inspired by just random things as he's walking along the street, you know? And
who would that be?
Who would that be? Yeah. And this just happened to, the inspiration happened to come to me at a film festival, because I was at a motel that was 3 miles away from the festival itself, and I didn't have a car. So every morning I was there for a week, I would walk the 3 miles in the rain with my umbrella to the festival. And I get so inspired when I'm in a festival, because I'm seeing other people's work and they're talking to me and I'm talking to them, and it's just the most inspiring atmosphere. And then I had all this time walking. And so this thing just created itself in my head. And when I got home, I storyboarded the whole thing out in one day, the day after I got back home. And it was going to be a 3-minute film. I'm currently at about 6.5 minutes.
Finally, with the show, what would you like to give viewers?
Well, I feel like it's almost like a festival. And there's so much animation everywhere today, everywhere. It's commercials, films. I mean, it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. Yeah. But we're all artists, and we're being playful and interactive, and we're using drawings and paintings and all kinds of media. So it's like going to a film festival in a way. So it has I hope it has that kind of excitement. There's something for everybody of every age group or interest, I think, in this show.
Mm-hmm. But I think what's unique about this, and something that Stephen and Kyle really built in, is to help people to really understand animation through some rudimentary processes and have an interactive involvement with it. So they can actually see the different images that make up a 2.5-second animation, how many it takes, and look at the individual stills and hopefully be inspired by it to try their own little flip card or where, you start.
I think that's what it boils down to, is hopefully they'll take away inspiration.
Yeah.
Stephen Vandermeer, Julie McNeil, and Amy Uweki, 3 of the members of Artists Who Animate. Their premier exhibit is at the Morris Graves Museum of Art, 636 F Street, Eureka, this Saturday, January 6th through February 18th. A special Arts Alive reception is planned for this Saturday, 6 to 9 p.m. And you can find out more about Artists Who Animate by visiting artistswhoanimate.com. That's Art Waves. Join me for the next regular broadcast Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. You can listen anytime online at khsu.org. You can download podcasts of the program from iTunes. I'm Wendy Butler. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Bebop, the cool school. Hard bop, 60s blue notes, the young lions. If it's straight ahead, you'll hear it on Gone Sides. Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 right here at 90.5 KHSU, your jazz station.
Electrodes were attached to their arms, chest, their heart.
Radiolab, it's not just for your ears.
Your torso will stay alive.
Yep, it's a full body experience.
And it just gripped me.
You're suspended.
Oh my God.
Kick it.
Puts all these feathers on his body and climbs up to the top of a mountain.
The smell doesn't bother you guys?
What smell?
Tuesday evenings, beginning at 7 here on KHSU.
Sorry about that, everybody. Starting off the new year just right.
Hi, all. This is Pandemonium Jones, bringing you a little bit of pandemonium. Right here at the start of 2018.